watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind, the maker of the rain. He can calm your storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that chorus together again. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that second verse. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the high. It'll bring me low, but it'll never bring me down. Raise your hands if you know him tonight. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing the chorus again. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of everything. He has calmed my soul, made the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. I'm glad to know him tonight. Amen. Welcome to church tonight. It's good to be here tonight. And we just had a really good time with the young people last night at the youth banquet. And I just want to say from the young people to the people that put in all the hard work, and I came by while they were working. They put in a lot of hard work, and the place looked great, and I think all the kids had a really good time. And we just appreciate the people that make things happen for our kids. It's real easy to think about it and wish we could do it, but I appreciate the people that put the shoulder to the wheel and get it done. We appreciate those people. So. We appreciate all the visitors coming, all the young people from different places that came and made it worth the effort that they put into it. We appreciate you all coming. At this time, we're going to take our prayer request, and I'll ask Brother Terry Horn, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. The first request is pray for the granddaughter of Peggy Kirkpatrick from Missouri. She's 5 years old, having blood in her urine. Also pray for Sister Kirkpatrick's family for salvation. Also for Margaret Carper in Cleveland, Ohio, who's having bladder surgery next week. She would appreciate your prayers. Please remember Bill and Linda Kennedy in prayer. They're both having some health problems. Would really like to come to church more often. Please pray for Sister Baker. She's in a lot of pain. Has to go back to the doctor Monday for more tests. Doctors think it may be her gallstones, gallbladder issues. So let's pray for her. Brother Brett Lawson turns in a request for Benjamin Lawson. Not able to make it to the service tonight. Not feeling well. So let's remember him. Also, please remember me in your prayers. Thursday, I will be having rotator cuff surgery, and covet your prayers during surgery and recovery. That's from Sister Joy Livingston. So let's remember Joy this week. Remember, my brother is having a battle with kidney stones, and he needs the Lord. That's Brother Reese. Please pray for a friend of ours, Larry Jenkins, who's in the hospital with a stroke. Sister Gerald turns that in. and this is from Brother Gene and Sister Jane Terrell. They said, Wednesday, March 26, 2014, we turned in a request for a need. March 28th, 2014, on Friday, the answer came, all is well. Praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord for moving for our brother and sister. We appreciate it. If you could stand tonight, let's, Brother Terry comes, let's just take these knees to the Lord tonight.
Aren't you happy to be back in church tonight?
Yes.
Well, let's take advantage of this another opportunity. We don't know when the last service will be. We just take for granted we'll be here tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and we probably will. But what if this is the last service? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we think about, as I was reading in the book of Hebrews, for here we have no continuing city, for we seek one to come. And think about all of those faith heroes in Hebrews of chapter 11 and how that they, by faith, and Abel, and by faith Enoch, and each one by faith, and faith is a revelation. Lord, each one of them, they left their country, as it were, their place of habitation, as it were. And the Bible says, and surely if they had been mindful of the country that they had come from, perhaps they would have had opportunity to return. But Lord, the Bible says that they desired a better country. And Lord, we do desire a better country, a heavenly. And Father, that's why we're here tonight. We're here because we are seeking a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Lord, Abraham, how he pitched his tent and brought it up and put it down and brought it up and put it down. But he saw one place that he wouldn't have to tear up the tent pegs anymore. A place that had foundations. A city that had foundations. He wouldn't have to move anymore. We seek that city, Lord Jesus. We ask, dear Jesus, you'd help us tonight as we desire to have our faith increased as we pray for these requests. And Lord, we prayed for Sister Livingston. I understand she's going to have that rotator cuff surgery. God be with her. We just trust, Lord, that you would guide the hand of the surgeon. Each one of these requests that I have my hands on, Lord, you have heard them being read. You know all about them before they was ever read. But you just asked that we would ask you, Lord, to do what you've already done, and that is heal them if we could appropriate that faith. And there's faith in the building tonight. We believe faith has been restored by the seventh angel messenger. I pray that you would meet the need of each one. Bless our speaker tonight. Anoint the young people, Lord, as they've had their banquet and so forth. Now may they have the spiritual manna that would help them to have faith muscles to go out and fight the enemy and become greater soldiers in this last day battle. And as we all desire, Lord, to have more faith muscles to meet the challenge of the hour. God, give us grace tonight. Heal each one. Make us better Christians, Lord, as we, you won't make us do that, but we're desiring that you would make us that because we're asking you to do it. Grant these, Lord, these petitions, these requests, and these desires. And may when we leave the building tonight, we can surely say it's been good to be in the house of God. Grant it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Terry, you can be seated this evening. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. The storm meet you there anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. On time, any place, anywhere. I know a man who can feed 5,000 anytime, any place, anywhere. Just 5 loaves and 2 little fish anytime, any place, anywhere. Anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your needs anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet you there. time, any place, anywhere. We're just 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Any time, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, keeps you there.
Appreciate everybody's participation tonight. Sounds real good coming back this way tonight. Appreciate that. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight, they wanted to make you aware that Brother Robert Dickerson had passed away. A lot of folks from the old sanctuary, I'm sure, remember Brother Dickerson. He's just asked prayer for his family and all that were close to him, and arrangements are going to be on the bulletin board for the services for Brother Dickerson. Let's sing Saved by Grace, G. How about sing that first verse for us?
I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me, and then he turned on my night today. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city, oh, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. Oh yes, when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. Oh, saved by grace. I've been saved. I've been saved by darkness. I could not find my way. Oh, but Jesus shined the light on me, and then he turned on my night to
happy. Brother Timothy, if you could come at this time, and he's going to play a song for us. And then we have a brother Patrick and his brother Luke who have a song for us. If you guys could come on up here and have a seat and be getting ready to sing next. Y'all can come on up here and have a seat and be getting ready to sing next. Are they here? Did somebody volunteer them without talking to them, maybe? Okay, that's a no-go. We have the Weeks family. If they want to come over here and have a seat and be getting ready to sing next. Do we have a Weeks family? Brother Louis, do these people even exist? He called me at work today and told me these were real people. Sister Rebecca Longoria, would you come over here and have a seat and get ready to sing next? All right. Let's enjoy Brother Timothy tonight.
know something of mercy sweet. Too many times it has fallen on me. It's all a part of God's grace divine, a grace I can claim each day as mine. And I know something about God's grace and how good it feels when He hears me pray. Just this morning He whispered my name, and I know something about God's grace. When He spoke this morning, how my heart rejoiced, my burden lifted at the sound of His voice. He called me into His throne room to pray. I bow down defeated, but I rose up. Just this morning He whispered my name, and I know something about God's grace. And I know something about God's grace and how good it feels when He hears me pray. Just this morning He whispered my name, and
definitely appreciate our specials tonight. Those were wonderful. If you could stand tonight, someone has requested, I think we have a visitor here that would like to hear "The Dove Leads the Lamb" once again, and we're going to have Brother Harry sing that for us. Let's just sing that with Brother Harry as Brother Donnie comes and brings us the word tonight.
Y'all help me. I'm not sure Brother Louie maybe didn't turn that in himself.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect to be and stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. making preparation. She's hearing the sound of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. A fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not our own, we're just before His throne.
Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. What an honor it is for us to be gathered together tonight in His presence. Thank God. Let's turn, if you would, tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 8. I wanted to express my appreciation and gratitude for the banquet last night and for the all the sisters that did the preparation and all the food, and the food was really nice. Fellowship was nice. All these kids is dressed up like I don't know what. The building looked really nice. Can't say much about the preacher, but everything else was really good. We really enjoyed it. We just appreciate all the work went on behind the scenes. We certainly thank you all for that, for your sacrifice. Let's read, if you would, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. We want to pick up here. This is the temptation of the Lord Jesus. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, he didn't show him any ghettos, any bars, or any junk or any trash. The devil knows how to make paint a pretty picture, don't he? So he showed Jesus the glory of these kingdoms. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. I'm going to have you not to be remembered in prayer tonight before the Lord. God bless you. Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, we are so grateful, first of all, that we can call you Father. To know that we've been saved from our sins, loosed from the transgressions that bound our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have placed your life, your spirit, within our souls and sealed us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, you saw the uplifted hands of your children here tonight, hundreds of them. We bring those needs and requests before you, Father. We know that you're mindful of what we go through. You didn't promise us that there wouldn't be afflictions and sickness and trouble and all that. But what you promised is that you would heal us, that you would be with us, that you would encourage us. Lord, I have in my hand this prayer call tonight, Father, that I'm going to preach with next to my body. I'm asking you, dear God, for our sister, you know, this need and this request. Lord, even before I preach, I rebuke this spirit, this enemy of yours and ours. Dear God, move for our sister, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Anoint us tonight, Father, with your presence. May the word be anointed. May we also be anointed, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on the spirit world. Most of us, I'm sure, have felt the influence of the spirit world, both positive and negative. We know that it's a real world. If you're a Christian, you do. You know that it's filled with all kinds of different spirits, angels, both good and bad, dominions, principalities, and powers. But there's only two real motives that motivate the spirit world. And there's only two heads. One of them is of God, of course, and the other one is the devil, which at one time was a heavenly being, an angel that lived in the presence of God. A created angel, I'm not saying, for some were not created. But this one was created to have a great position in the economy of God. Created to stand before the throne of God as one of the leading cherubims, as the protector to the throne of God. But once he fell, once he established his kingdom in the earth, then he started working his motives and his objectives and his purpose to be able to fulfill it in the earth. And as we can look around today and see, he's certainly doing the same thing in the hour that we live in. Now, because it is a spirit world, much of what we see in the natural world is influenced from the spiritual world. And it's like there's a power behind something that you even see naturally. So you look in the natural world and you see things that are going on and things that are happening. But you know that there is something else behind it that is motivating it. Same with the children of God. There's something in us that's natural, but yet there's something we believe by the presence of God that is supernatural, do we not, that motivates us. Let me read you this from the fourth seal as Brother Branham. Let's look at this for just a few moments, that Satan and politics. There is a triple crown of vicar of heaven. There he's talking about, of course, the Pope, purgatory and earth, three powers united together, all mixed up in a color pale. Death spoke in the whole thing. Political and religious and demon powers mixed together. Now, remember, at the end time, it's already been spoken prophetically that all three of these powers will come together quite like never before. Now, if you study the history of the Reformation, or if you look in the days of Whitfield, or you look in the days of even Calvin and some of those as far back as then, you see that political power has always been an opposition. And it was always something that Satan could fall over upon and use it if need be. Now, there was times in church history to when the political power didn't really come against the church that much. But then there was other times, as it was in the days of Nero, or in the days of many other emperors, or in the days of the Catholic Church through the Spanish Inquisition or the other inquisitions that they did. And they were able to get their religious power linked together with their political power, which was also anointed by demon power. And once they brought that triangle or that trinity together, who could stop them? So you realize, were it not for the grace of God, you and I would be heading for the same thing in this day. But remember, we have a promise. They'll never shut her up. He'll take her up. Amen. Now, if it wasn't for that, we would. We would go through as much, if not more, than what the early church has already been through. And yet, we can see by the world, we can look around and see just recently, I'm sure you've read in the paper, saw it on YouTube or whatever more, that the Pope had just recently sent a Pentecostal group, Kenneth Copeland and his group, through an iPhone message and a video. And my, the people of the world just think it's the greatest thing that ever was. It's already been prophesied to us that it's going to come to pass. Is that right? And we know years ago people would have laughed. I imagine when Brother Branham was here and he told them Pentecostals, keep your head out of that. Don't do that. They probably sat there behind him. I heard him say it last week. And they probably sat there behind him saying, are you kidding me? Us Pentecostals ever join up with that? Why, there's no way we're like that. But now the Pope called them brothers. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. I agree with most of them and most of the denominational thing. They are brothers. But if you're born of the Word, how can you call somebody that's just a denominational bastard a brother? Come on now. Don't get quiet on me. If you're born of the Word and you're filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, then you are my brother or my sister. But if you just signed your name on a church book, you're probably not my brother. It done just about as much good to sign your name on a barn door. But if you're born of the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit of God, then we are brothers and sisters. But I'll tell you one thing, all this ecumenical thing, it's all got to come together. And you realize politically, religiously, and united together with demon power, whenever it releases under the headship of the Antichrist in the tribulation period, they will hunt down the foolish virgins, hunt them down like dogs, and kill them. Is that right? That's what's been said will come to pass. Now watch this. Political and religious and demon powers mixed together. Sure, don't try to outwit him. Just trust the Lord. Now friend, there is no way that you and I by our own ability can outsmart the devil. He's too smart. Now, the Bible tells us he was wiser than Daniel. So if he's wiser than Daniel, you know he can outsmart you and I. Look at this now. In the next quote, he said he had three powers or three jurisdictions. Here we're talking about the Pope. The heaven, earth, and purgatory. He himself is a trinity. Now watch Satan as he manifests himself in a trinity of administrations of his powers. He says he's made up of that. He rides in a trinity. His power's in a trinity. His crown's in a trinity. His horse is in a trinity. That's what he is. A trinity of power. A crown or trinity. A riding of horse in a trinity. That's his offices. All right. Three stages of his ministry makes him one person, Satan incarnate. Three stages. Antichrist, false prophet, and the beast. Politics, religion, and demon power. Now watch, it all mixes together to make him the devil. Now, as I mentioned to you Wednesday night, that politically, it's going to get more and more and more where it's politically incorrect to preach against sin. It's already politically incorrect to preach against certain things. Homosexuality is one of them. And of course, you can tell I'm scared to death to mention in the pulpit. Praise the Lord. I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified tonight to not say it. You see, a God-called man, it makes no difference about popularity, money, fame, whatever more they want to do. He's not out to please men. He's out to please God. So to be politically correct is the least of my concern. I want to be godly correct. Oh, but Brother Donnie, no telling what they'll do. They'll only do what he will allow them to do, which will make me closer to him and better fitted for the rapture anyway. But you realize as we go on now, because of political pressure, they don't really need laws. They don't need laws to say a preacher cannot preach this. All they need is political power. Then if he preaches it and it goes on YouTube or in the newspaper or whatever more, and then a bunch of people go to writing and saying all kinds of things, then politically they hush him up and he backs off and don't say it no more. They don't have to have a law against it. It's just political pressure. Oh, you're getting quiet on me again. But you see, friends, the real elect of God are not afraid of political pressure. They're not afraid of religious pressure. And they are not afraid of demonic pressure. Why?
Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let Satan join together his power. But we are backed up by the power of heaven. This is not our power. This is not our strength. We walk under the strength of the Almighty God Himself. Oh my, now what's he going to do? He's going to gather them together on their mixed colored horses. Now he's talking about the seals, of course, the riders of the horses. He's gathering this thing together, mixed with creeds, denomination, man-made doctrines, is that right? A mixed color, the mixed color of the dead pale horse of the world. Mixed colors of the dead worldly form of that pale horse. Oh my, no holy blood of the word at all. Holy blood of the word? You mean the word has blood in it? Not till it was made a man. And when the word was made flesh, then the word had blood. Praise the Lord. But what's this going to come? It'll have no holy blood of the word at all. We're all just brothers. Can't you hear that cry, friends? We're all brothers. This is an age of acceptance that we're supposed to accept everybody as they are. However they live, you know, they're Christians and they drink. We got Christian drug addicts. We got Christian homosexuals. We got Christian this, Christian that. And it's an acceptance. We're just supposed to accept everybody for what they are. That's this last age of Laodicea. But you'll not pull that over on God. Neither will you pull that over on the elect church. Oh no. Now for the majority of so-called Christianity, you will, because they'll just hush. They'll just quit preaching against the wrong, so we have to embrace everybody. Amen. But the real elect one, why? Because they've got that holy blood word. Exactly right. Now watch what's going on. Watch from the four corners of the earth. Satan will gather his from the four corners of the earth. They'll gather them together for what? Armageddon. The Bible says, I think of the scripture, I got them wrote down here, ain't calling them right, but he said they're written down. Now watch, he's going to gather them together for the great day of the battle of God. These people will be so convinced coming out of the tribulation period that they are right. They will gather against the Lord Jesus and his saints coming out of heaven by the millions in glorified bodies. And these people will be so deceived, they will attack the Lord Jesus. Well, they attacked him when he was sharing bride form. Why not attack him in heavenly form? Now watch, they're joining themselves together, coming to that showdown to Armageddon, riding on a mixed colored horse. Now remember the administration, the red horse, the black horse, and the red horse, and it all mingles together in the last phase and becomes a pale grizzled colored horse, which is all of it together, which is religious, political, and demon power. Satan is the king of politics. So whether you're Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or Nonitarian or Unitarian or whatever you are, Satan is the king of politics. God is not the king of politics. God is the king of truths. Exactly right. Now watch, they're joining themselves together, coming to the showdown, riding on a mixed colored horse. With one horse of white, one of red, one of black, three different political power, spiritual power, controlled by demon power. Now watch, religious power, political power, controlled under the auspices of demon power. Boy, this is where it gets sticky right here now. So under the ecumenical headship that's trying to bring everybody together in one great big body and we'll all just hug one another and love one another. After all, everybody's going to heaven anyhow. You don't have to live right. God understands we're all going to wind up in heaven. No, we ain't. I said, no, we ain't. All the political power trying to hush this up. Don't you understand where it's coming from? It's demonic headship behind it. It's demons that's making our leaders pass such laws. It's demons that's making the preacher stand in the pulpit and compromise on the truth. It's under demonic headship. But what's anointing the real servants of God? Not demons, but the power of the Holy Ghost. What's anointing the real church to live the word? The Holy Ghost. Now watch. He says, this pale looking grizzled colored horse mixed with black, red and white coming to battle, gathering his subjects from every nation under heaven. Now in Revelation 19, not only is he getting ready, but Christ is getting ready to meet him. The battle is going to be hot and heavy. Everybody in this building is going to be identified on one of them sides. Which side are you on? Everybody here is going to be identified with either the white horse rider, the conqueror of the word, or you're going to be identified with that pale horse rider, which is death. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now the battle's going to be hot and heavy. Christ in Revelation 19, Christ is gathering his, not from the four corners of the earth, because there's going to be a little bitty remnant. Now watch where Jesus is gathering the majority of his. What's he doing? He's gathering them from the four corners of heaven. Oh, glory. We'll get them souls under the altar tomorrow night. The four corners of heaven, and what's he coming on? A snow white horse. He also has got a name, not death, but the Word of God, life. Amen. God, it wrote on his thigh here, the Word of God. He is life. Now here he's coming and he's gathering his saints, vindicated word, and they're coming from the four corners of heaven. And they're going to meet these others as they're gathering from the four corners of earth. And here he is, both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity of God, riding on a white horse, the Holy Ghost power of God. And he's going to meet another Trinity down on the earth. And there's going to be a battle going on. And I don't know how the battle's going to end. I tell you one thing, I'm so glad tonight that I am on the winning side. I think I'll go ahead and wave the flag. I've already won. By the grace of God, we will win this war. There is no stopping us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's got wrote life riding on a white horse. Here's a man with three different powers mixed up called death, gathering his earthbound delegates. And Christ is gathering his heaven-born subjects. Saints. He's got death wrote on him. Christ got life wrote on him. You know, friend, it just makes me feel so sorry for folks that sit around this word and they're so miserable and they're so sour and oh my, everything, I've got to do this and I can't do that and I can't go there and I can't wear this and I can't do that and I can't and I can't and I can't and I can't. I feel sorry for them caners. I'll tell you one thing, I love being around saints of God. That's why I love this word. I love this word. Oh, I appreciate a prophet of God. I appreciate the word that tells me the truth. Man alive, well, I got to go to church. Got to. I love to go to church. I don't got to live right. I love to live right. I don't got to worship. I love to worship. I don't got to do what he wants me to do. It's an honor to do what he wants me to do. Some folks are heaven born. Other folks is earthly delegates. That's all they are. I gotta quit getting drunk. No, you don't. You don't, who told you gotta quit getting drunk? I gotta quit dancing. Who told you that lie? You don't have to quit dancing. You don't have to quit getting drunk. Brother Bam said he had been drunk every day of his life since he got the Holy Ghost. Man, who told you you got to quit dancing? You need to ask old David about that when David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Oh, I got to give up my joy. I got to get joy. You ain't even got real joy till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Those with him are on white horses also. Isn't it amazing? They are riding symbolically. White being a purity, the original color. An animal being a power. So they are riding the very same kind of power that Jesus is on. And these earthbound subjects are under what? They're under this pale thing. They used to, everything was black and white. Not anymore. Everything is gray. Don't you understand? It's the pale horse rider. In the message, used to, is this right or is this wrong? Okay, this is right, this is wrong. Not anymore. We don't know. We're not sure. Is this right or is this wrong? Don't you understand what it is? The pale horse rider is trying to ride right among us and make everything gray areas. Well, we're not sure. Is this right or is this wrong? Brother, sister, I think if there's ever a time for us to walk before the presence of God in a way that pleases Him, it's right now. Don't you get under that gray power. Don't you get under that, well, I don't know. Folks' views are being changed by televisions, love stories, internet, all kinds of stuff. So they don't know what's right and wrong anymore. Don't you understand? It's the gray. It's the gray area that we're living. It's the pale horse. Oh my. But here comes these heaven-born subjects with them on white horses. And they are called the chosen before the foundation of the world. They are faithful to the word. Amen. Woo, he said, I like that one. Called, chosen before the foundation of the world and faithful to the word. Listen how. By their choosing. Don't you understand, brothers and sisters? God don't want you to live this word because you're made to. Because you're scared to death. I'm going to preach on you. God wants you to live this word because you look that word in the face and you say, I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to follow this word. I choose to believe this message. I choose to believe God sent a prophet in this last day. I read a piece of an article some time ago. It was about someone who had left the message. And they had said in this article that they had escaped this terrible cult. And I thought, first of all, you are a bald-faced liar. Making it sound like it's some kind of prison. Making it sound like it's some kind of work camp. Anybody want to leave this message? They just walk away and go. It's not like you've got to escape through a window or out a door. Come on. If you want to leave God, even God won't stop you. If you don't want to live for Him, He won't stop you. If you want to go, go on. Amen. I'm not in no prison. I'm not in no workhouse. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. Amen. I've never had so much joy. I've never had so much peace. I've never had so much power. Don't call me in prison, my brother. This is not prison to me. This is like heaven. This is like heaven. For the truth has made me free. Free. I'm free. Are you free with me? I choose to live holiness. I choose to be the husband of one wife. I choose not to rob banks. I choose not to cuss. I choose not to drink. God don't have to scare me with hell. God don't have to hang me over hell and dip my toes down in it and let them scorch and say, I take down, you better straighten up, boy. God don't have to deal with me that way. All my Father has to do to me is tell me where I'm wrong. Woo! Faithful to the word by their choosing. Now listen to this, some of you that don't like emotion. All stimulated with new wine and oil. just riding right along, coming down to meet him. They know the thunders will issue the thing in pretty soon. Oh, glory. So we're not a bunch of deadheads coming to the church. Some of y'all done drunk so much you passed out. Oh man, I hope we leave this place tonight so stimulated. This is Saturday night, right? Don't a lot of folks, don't they work all week and then wait for Saturday night to get drunk? That's when they have their big party time and when they do all that sort of thing and they get all stimulated. Yet if they was to pass by here and see us, they're screaming and running and hollering and shouting. That's a bunch of nuts. Bunch of crazy people. Yet they'll go to the honky tonk and dance like a monkey on morphine. And they'll stand up there and act the office ever was. And they call us nuts. Well, if I am, at least I'm screwed to the right bolt. At least I'm attached to the right thing. If I'm going to be a fanatic, let me be a fanatic for the truth. Let me be a fanatic for the gospel. Let me be a fanatic for the kingdom of God. Because this kind of drinking right here, what it'll make you do is when you wake up in the morning and you look over at your wife, and oh yeah, it's your wife. You didn't sleep with somebody else the night before. When you're drunk, you don't know who you're sleeping with. Come on now, don't get quiet. It won't make you hate. It won't make you do none of that sort of thing. It'll make you wake up in the morning and say, man alive, we got church again today. We got church again today. Why? It stimulates you. But you're not the only one stimulated now. The devil is stimulating his crowd too. He stimulates them into politics. Well, if you want to cause a rift in the church, go to mention politics. You want to cause a rift in a family, go to mention politics. Why? People get stimulated about it. Under what? Demonic influence. Now watch, here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth. With his Protestants and with his Catholics. Can you imagine some of these Pentecostal leaders after the Pope sent out this video? And they said, this is an answer to prayer. This is an answer to prayer. God is moving. God is moving among us and bringing us all together. And here a prophet of God said this in 1963. Praise the Lord. Los Angeles had the earthquake, you heard, 2 days ago. Had another one this afternoon. Children, we better get ready. We better get ready. It's done, been spoken. It's going to come to pass. So Satan's gathering together all of his followers on the earth, Protestants and Catholics, all together, marching right up to the battle of Armageddon. They're not walking up there scared. They're not saying, oh, there's the Lord Jesus. Oh, my. They're walking right up there. We'll kill you. You bunch of saints, you bunch of holy rollers, we'll kill you too. Look how deceit can do. The Lord Jesus in a glorified body. You in a glorified body. Me in a glorified body. And they'll walk right up to the battle of Armageddon and said, we're not scared of you. Oh my. Marching right up to the battle of Armageddon. And here comes Jesus. Now I want you to listen at his army now. And remember our title tonight, the spirit world. Listen at his army. He who has an innumerable band of angels. He who has cherubims, seraphims, zooms, archangels. But yet to fight this war. He told the angels to stay at the house. Glory! Hallelujah! Gabriel, you stay here and watch the house while I'm gone. Me and Donnie's going to go down and take over. Amen! Me and
and Bobby, me and Amos, and they say, we're going down and we're going to whoop that devil and we're going to cast him down in that bottomless pit, and then we're fixing to take over the earth for a millennium. So who does Jesus choose to fight this pronoun? Oh, it's been spoken of for thousands of years. This great battle. Here comes Jesus coming from heaven with resurrected saints, vindicated word. Don't you see? When you are raised in your glorified body, you are standing there as vindicated word. Notice he said, as I've said, if God speaks and sends you, he backs you up. What you say? If you're an ambassador for heaven, this is why I can be bold. This is why I ain't afraid. At least now while the anointing's on me anyway. Notice if you're an ambassador from heaven, the guys that work in the sewer department of heaven, the guys that work in the kitchen of heaven, all of heaven is behind you. And heaven is consisted of the word. If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice he's come with the resurrected saints, vindicating his word is true. And Satan knows then the bottomless pit is ready for him. Now let's look in Luke chapter 4 verse 5. Luke gives a little bit different view. Acts even places in a different order the temptation of the Lord Jesus. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now you imagine a being that is so powerful, though fallen, that could take the Lord Jesus up into a dimension and through dimensional travel, show him all the kingdoms of the world in a measure of time. Watch, the prophet says it this way. When Jesus was taken up on the high mountain by Satan, he let him look down through the stream of time. So here he stands 2,000 years ago, and the devil grabs a hold of time, as it was, and opens up the windows of time. And the Lord Jesus is looking down through time to the very last day. And he shows him every kingdom. He shows him the Roman Empire. He shows him the Grecian Empire, or whatever more that's going to be. He shows him all the great things of the world that are to come and the glory of them. Notice the prophet said, showed him through the stream of time and showed him all the world and all the kingdoms thereof and said, they are mine. Look in Luke 4:6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Now there's one thing you've got to say about him. He does know his rights. He does know his authority, and he does know where he can stand. Now here he's coming against the incarnate word. But he stands right there and looks the word in the face and says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. For it is mine. Jesus didn't stand there and say, you're a liar. You ain't telling the truth. Because he was telling the truth. He can tell it occasionally. When it's for his advantage. Now here the arch tempter looks, as it were, at Jesus and says, you want to be a king, don't you? Isn't this why you came to the earth? To be a king. Is this what you would really, really want? And if you will come under me, do you understand what I can do for you? I can start having one successive victory after the other. I will help you conquer the world. Was it not one of my princes in Persia? Was it not one of my princes in Grecia that allowed Alexander the Great to conquer the known world? Was it not one of my own delegates that allowed the Roman Empire to come into existence? I will set up the whole thing for you. You don't have to do anything. There'll be victory after victory, triumph after triumph. So what would I need to do? Well, there's just a few things. You need to lay aside this thing about conquering sin and making humans holy and sanctified. Just accept them as they are. Look at me. I am more than willing to take them as they are. Yeah, but look at who you are. You are the devil. Praise the Lord. The devil will live in a liar. The devil will live in a drunk. The devil will live in a whoremonger. But God won't. God's real picky about the house he lives in. The devil will live in anybody. They can live anyway, talk anyway, act anyway. He'll even live in animals. That's how low down he is, but my God is not low down. I can give you the highest honors. And what's amazing, friends, is when Satan is telling Jesus this, as a man, Jesus feels it pulling on his flesh. And Jesus is actually tempted to do it. The devil wasn't totally convinced of all the Old Testament scriptures that applied to the Lord Jesus because they were written in symbolic form. Some of them metaphorically so that the devil couldn't figure it out. But Jesus knew every one of them that applied to him. He knew Isaiah 53. He knew he'd be rejected. He knew Zechariah 7. He knew all of them prophecies. Psalms 22, Psalms 24. He knew all of that. So here is a man, he's standing contemplating, I can have this without suffering. Or I can have this with a cross. Now you imagine after Satan makes him in this offer, the way he does you and I. Then he turns the threat on him. But if you don't accept it, I want you to know I'll be against you every day of your life. I will raise up my powers against you. I'll raise politics, and he did. I'll raise religious, and he did. I'll raise demons. You say all three of those against the Lord Jesus, will it not be against his bride the same way? Let the morals of the world alone. Can't you see this is what they want to be? They're proud to be drunks. They're proud to wallow in this sin. Can't you leave them alone? Why do you think you have to be so holy? Why do you think you've got to preach a gospel that is so separationist from everybody else?
Because we're preaching the truth. Folks in this day want a preacher that's a mixer. Take a little bit of homosexuality, a little bit of lying, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and they all come to church, and then you turn this pastor mixer on. He just mixes them all up together. So you got homos hugging one another's necks and lesbians and liars and drunks and whatever more and more. All just in the body of Christ. That's blasphemy to say such a thing. In the body of Christ with such a title. Come on, children. But what does God want? Separators. Amen. God wants separators. You know, sisters, like when you're fixing to make some of your favorite bread, it's a little bit more difficult. But if you take that egg and you crack it and you open it up, there's only part of that egg that you want. Any of your sisters ever made cornbread with the shells? Now you could put it up on your table and say, this is cornbread and it's made with eggs. You're partially telling the truth. But your little young one is saying, but mama, I'm choked. Help me. I can't get it down. Oh, mama, what is it? It was made with eggs, and you are telling the truth. But it's the part of the egg that's not supposed to be mixed in. So what do? You separate that egg according to what recipe you're making. You may want the white or you may want the yellow. What do you have to do? You've got to separate one part from the other or you're going to make your family sick. Don't you understand what gospel preaching does? It separates the believer from the unbeliever. It separates the child of God from those that don't want to be Christians. And it makes what? Bread of his face. The bread, the sheer bread to set on his table.
Watch this. I love the way the prophet speaks of this. How can I overcome the third great assault? Satan offered to forfeit his kingdom to him. He did. Satan said, these kingdoms of the world, these are mine. I do with them whatever I want to. I'll forfeit them to you. I'll tell you, friends, if you've ever been burnt by a car dealer or a horse trader or a hog trader or a cow trader or anybody, any kind of trader, when the devil's doing you a favor, you better run. When he says you're getting the best end of the deal, you better get out of Dodge. I mean, fast. Because he'll be taking your Dodge and your Cadillac and your Volkswagen and everything else if you're dealing with the devil. You cannot deal with the devil. He's the biggest liar you ever talked to. Amen. He's the biggest deceiver that you ever dealt with. And he don't care about you at all. Now watch. The prophet said he's trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. And if he did, we'd be lost. Why did he leave that out? Now, why did not Satan tell the Lord Jesus? Now, Lord Jesus, let me tell you this. Now, if you take this, now you realize you'll have no bride. There'll be no church. There'll be no redeemed. Because we're just making a trade. You're not buying anything. So you'll have no wife. How come he didn't include that? He knows how to say things. That's why he won't include in your temptation the years it'll take you to get over the fall you make. That's why he won't tell you young people, boy, if you give up this and that and the other and you forego your virginity, you forego this and that. Oh, it'll be fun. It'll be this and that. Yeah, he's not telling you all the years that you think, oh God, I wish I'd have never done such a thing. He keeps back from you very important facts. He didn't tell Jesus you won't have a bride. And if you take this, your bride will die lost. Jesus already knew that. Do you understand the reason he even done this? The very reason he overcome this was for you. Do you honestly think he needed to come to the earth and prove himself to himself? Do you think the sonship of God needed to prove to the fathership of God that the sonship of God was loyal? Come on, what books you been reading? He did not come. He didn't have to prove himself to himself. He come for you. Satan would have gladly made that proposition with him, but he said, get behind me, Satan. You see what he's doing, friend? He's offering him a kingdom without a Calvary. How many folks have followed this message? Have been made a deacon without a Calvary. Even some a preacher without a Calvary. A song leader without a Calvary. That's the ones that's defecting and leaving. If they'd ever had a Calvary, how could you leave the word? They accepted serpent seed. They accepted God sent a prophet. They accepted this. And come on now. And this. But had they ever really been to Calvary and received a revelation of this message? How could the devil ever pull a divine revelation of who this word is out of your heart? I don't care if your mama turns against you. Your daddy turns against you. Oh my. You'll stand there like Job. The Lord give and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh my. Notice this, he says, he come and suffered and took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution, the route of death.
Are we this morning willing to do, take the same route that he taken? Are we willing to die? Are we willing to give ourselves up to God? Forfeit all the world and all the things to serve for him. Now he failed to do it, willing to forfeit it. Satan was to him, but he didn't do it. Though Jesus was tempted, this is why he overcome. He overcome for us. He endured all temptations for me and for you. He could have took it right then. But what did he take the other route for? So we could come, be with him. If he paid such a price as that, how little would we be not to take it? One, remember, there's nothing here anyhow. We're sometimes tempted to go back. Many of you are tempted to go back to the denomination. Go back and take up the word. Now watch now. Listen to this. 1963. What denomination you belong to? What church you affiliated with? You know, now this is really a reproach then in 1963. Can you imagine how much it is now? We're tempted to do that. All of us are. Our sisters are tempted to go back. Go back and join up with some of the rest of the churches. Some of the assemblies or churches of God. Isn't that amazing? Not Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. One step back from the message. Back to Pentecost only. Come on, children. Lord Jesus, keep us. Mama. Still be Pentecostal and let them cut your hair off. Dress almost any way you want to. You're tempted to do it. Go back and be pauper with this wicked generation that we're living with. When this is the major sin of our days. The major sin among our people. Worldliness. So were the Pentecostals right 40 years ago when Pentecostal preachers preached against women cutting their hair, dressing like men? Were they right then or right now? The old-fashioned Baptists, were they right then or right now? Those who left the truth, were they right then when they sat under for 40 years or are they right now? You can't be both. Don't you understand? They were tempted to go back and they yielded to the temptation. But praise be to God. I believe I'm looking at some saints tonight. That may be tempted, some of you brothers, some of you sisters, some of you young men. You may be tempted to go back and people ask you, where do you go to church? Where? Did you say Valley Happy? I mean Happy Valley. That ain't that Reagan guy, is it? Oh no, you don't go by Brother Tim Pruitt's church or Brother Tim Humes or one of them cult guys, do you? You don't go there. Yes, sir, and proud of it. Yes, sir, and proud of it. I'm proud to be identified with the revealed word of this hour. Brother Donnie, are you tempted? For a preacher, it's more deceiving, you see. God may have put it on my heart and I may have quotes here in front of me to preach on something that's not politically correct. But I choose to skip over it and say, what if they put me on the newspaper again? What if somebody puts me on YouTube? And for the most part, you'd never even know that God put it on my heart. I could skip right over it and y'all would go right on shouting. Hallelujah, glory to God. But I miss the Lord. Then the next time it would be easier for me and easier. And before long, you folks wouldn't have a whole lot to shout about. Because you got a compromiser sitting in the pulpit. So are preachers tempted to water it down and don't say anything to make nobody mad? I'll tell you, friends, it's going to be surprising how many message preachers is going to do it. They say a little bit of persecution against somebody, you just mark her down from a little dummy that don't know nothing. You mark her down, there'll be a change in this message after what just happened to us. There'll be men that'll start cutting back this, cutting out that, won't say that, won't say that. Why? They don't want nobody to make a public nuisance out of them or them to be identified around the world. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing. If they take my head head clean off my shoulders. If they chop my fingers off and take my toes off with me, I pray God gives me strength to never compromise. Amen. That He'll give me the strength, Brother Gene, to stand with that word and not compromise. Amen. And let the presence of God come down and get a people ready for a rapture. Hallelujah. When you hear the word of God, call out against it. And you take the other route. You're on par with the world. So you're tempted to go back. Tempted. So you sisters don't have to cut your hair totally off. Just trim it a little bit. Just so when people see the back of it, it's straight. They won't think near as much of you as if it's, you know, sort of like that. And wear dresses that's just right at the lot level. Right at the lot level. Where you're sort of look like the message and yet sort of don't. But it's short enough to where the world won't look at you and make fun of you. You know what? When you do that, sisters, you're more concerned about what they think than what he thinks. Praise the Lord. Oh my, here we go. But you know what? A real bride that loves the Lord, she wants to please her husband more than anything else in this world. She'll fight through religious power. She'll fight through demon power. She'll fight through all of this other thing because she wants to please him. Now watch Satan in verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now remember, Satan is the prince of this world. St. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. St. John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. St. John 16:11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So we can see that Satan has a great order. It's a magnificent order. When you look at how he orchestrated to have principalities, powers, dominions, rulers, magistrates, that would be in his kingdom. Now, whenever Satan designated a prince over a domain or a nation, the prince of Persia, for instance, or the prince of Grecia. Now, he is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. So he does not know all things. He cannot be at all places at one time. So he will designate these fallen angels or demons as they are now. And they will be designated to certain degrees in certain places. Some of them will go into the realm of politics. Some of them will go into the realm of diseases. And we know that, of course, all diseases began in the fourth dimension. So from there, we see that demons and angels are able to interchange, communicate, and move from the fourth dimension. So whenever they're assigned to that place, they've stayed there and been there for thousands and thousands of years. Now, we also know then that God has them on the other side, a hierarchy of God. God has cherubim, seraphim, zoons, and God has one archangel. His name is Michael. Now, let me read you this at Victory Day. Nations want to see their own way. Germany wants to see their way alone. Russia wants to see their way. They want to take the Ukraine and want us to smile about it. It's the spirit of the nations. You find it wherever you go. You find a national spirit. Now watch this, a national spirit. So the spirit that is over Russia is not the same spirit that's over America. They are different national spirits. Like each spirit of a denomination is different. Watch this now, he says, I went into different ones and he said, when you go into Germany, you find a military spirit. Now watch, this will coincide then with the nationals who live in that nation.
It will be a spirit by which they will come under or submit to, but it is a spirit that Satan no doubt studies the genetics of these people. He studies the makeup of these people, and he knows this is the kind of spirit that would work. The spirit of Finland would never work in Germany. The spirit of France wouldn't work in Germany. The spirit of America. Ha 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 ha. That don't go in Germany. I've been in Germany. It won't work. But it works here. Boy, y'all looking at me funny now. Now watch. He said, you're going to Germany, find a military spirit. Everything is military. You have to stand straight, walk straight, cut your corners and everything. If you've ever been to Germany, you know how it is. I mean, my, they're great precision people in making equipment and doing all this. And they're also precision people in driving down the Autobahn at 140 miles an hour. I'm not teasing. Me and Brother Doug McHugh was there several years ago, and Brother Earl Williams riding, my Brother Ron Peterson, I think he had a BMW or Mercedes, I forget what it was at the time, was going 135 miles an hour being passed like it was tied to a tree. But this is part of who they are. This is their precision. This is the thing that they are. Would that thing work in Africa? Would it work in Mexico City? You might go 13 miles an hour, but not 135. Would it work in Cairo, Egypt, when you got those roundabouts and everybody? I mean, the one of the greatest parts of a car is your horn. Bing, 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 bing. Why? That spirit would not work there. And Satan studies nationalities and knows what spirit to send to what nation. Mama. You go into France and you find an immoral spirit. Just women and wine and liquor and stuff like that. Now he says you go to Finland, you find a loyal spirit. Kind of like everything is honest. We must pay off everything. It must be done. Got to be that way. No matter how hard they have to work, what it costs, it must be that way. You come into America and you find to be ha, 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 ha. Well, y'all got quiet on me. Y'all was amen in that military thing and that loyal thing and that. Now he said that's what it is, the American spirit. Somebody tell a dirty joke on the radio. Everybody laugh at it. Ernie Ford or some of them cracking jokes. You know, everywhere. Arthur Godfrey, that group like that. That's the American spirit. Now this is what, as Americans, we will have to contend with. This is our national spirit. Is it wrong to laugh? No. But it is wrong to laugh about the wrong things. You laugh at dirty jokes if people are telling them, you're laughing about the wrong thing. You know why you're laughing? Because you want to fit in. You don't want to be the odd duck. I'd rather be the odd duck and ready to fly out of here than to fit in a life at a bunch of filth. Come on now. Now watch what happens. He said, then those spirits get jealous of another spirit. Do you understand what's going on right now between America and Russia? The Russian spirit and the American spirit in the spirit world, I mean, they get into it all the time anyway. But for a while after the Cold War, these devils has kind of got along a little bit. Now they know they're going to get one another at the end. But they've had enough peace among them. But you know what? Satan built his church on a church split. So how can you expect to have anything but trouble? How can you expect to have peace when you build it upon the rubbles of lies? So here's the spirit of America, the national spirit, and here's the spirit of Russia. And they just go around and around and around. They say, all right, boys, all right, calm down. Get back out there and make them Americans. Ha, 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 ha. Make them laugh. You go back over and go to making them bombs. I mean, go over and... Then every now and then that Russian spirit will look over at that American spirit. He'll snarl at him, and that American spirit will go... Now, boy, here they go. And who do they use? Leaders. Politics. So we got a demon spirit of Russia that moves on who? Putin. Right? And then we got the spirit of America that moves on Obama and the Supreme Court and, or, you know, whoever more that makes their decisions. And all I can say is it's probably a good thing for Mr. Putin that Ronald Reagan ain't in there.
or some of the others that couldn't be pushed around so much. No, I didn't say that because his last name's Reagan. But you watch, even in the flow of the Spirit of God, there are some people that can yield more to that Spirit than others can. And there are presidents, and there are congressmen, and there are senators that will yield to the national spirit better than others. Others are more cowardly or whatever diplomatic you want to call it, and yet they will not yield. But yet the contagion between them and the spirit world is still there. That spirit of Russia knows. It knows. One day it will be allowed to annihilate this nation. And the national spirit of America will have to find another nation to haunt. Because you can't haunt craters. Brother Donnie, don't that scare you? By no means. I won't be here. I ain't looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for one in the sky. Amen. Let me see if I can close. Now watch this, and these spirits get jealous of one another. And what they do, they cause war. Do you understand down through time with Napoleon, with all these different, do you understand what caused it? Do you understand, friends, what caused it? Demons. Do you understand what causes church splits, most of them? Family splits, arguments, all kinds. Do you understand what causes it? Demons. What gets in among church people? Oh, I don't want, I'm going back out there. What is it? What's the attitudes that people take? You'll be able to tell if it's the Spirit of God or demons. The Spirit of God never gets fussing and cussing and raring and carrying on. That's demonic anointing. Well, the longer I go, the quieter you get. And the quieter you get, the longer I'm going to go. We better work together on this thing. Now watch, he's the God. Now, Satan being the God of the nations, look what he does. Now you see, every nation is controlled by Satan. And the church said,
amen.
The Bible said so. He's the God of the nations. Satan took Jesus up top of the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms that was in the world, all the kingdoms in a moment of time, and said, these are mine. I can do with them what I want to. I'll give them over to you if you'll worship me. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He knew he was going to fall heir to him in the millennium. Sometimes you have to wait for the right time to get what's yours. He didn't have to, oh my, he didn't have to bow down to him. He know, amen, he know. Do you know? Do you know you are the heirs of this world? And when God comes again and takes his kingdom here, there'll not be different kinds of spirit. A German spirit, a French spirit, a Norwegian spirit, an American spirit. There won't be that. It'll be one spirit. I've flown in different parts of the world, Asia, Europe, all over, everywhere. And I've seen this myself. You go even to the different nationalities in Africa. And I flew into Kenya and then go to Tanzania and then go to Uganda and then go to Zambia or wherever it is. And you'll see a different spirit there about them. A different thing. But when Jesus sets this kingdom up on the earth, it'll no longer be American spirits. There won't be a white spirit or a black spirit or a red spirit. There won't be a Chinese spirit or a Japanese spirit. It will be one spirit, the Spirit of God. And if we've got the Holy Ghost, it ought to already be here in our hearts tonight.
Amen.
There should be no difference among us. It'll be one spirit, amen, the Spirit of God living in every heart. That's right. And there'll be one flag and one nation, one people. A brotherhood, a fatherhood of God, and a brotherhood of men. Sonship. Amen. Amen. Why? The national spirits will be gone. In the millennium, there will be people that was from Germany and the earth, from Finland, from America, Tennesseans, South Carolinians, you know, Illinois or wherever they're from. But the predominant thing that rules our life, it's the Spirit of God. Let's stand.
Watch this. Paragraph 98. Let me just let you rest yourself. Then we find that because people do this and they cause these great fusses and so forth, and as long as Satan controls it, there's going to be wars and troubles and war. Jesus said in St. John and St. Matthew 24, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars and wars and wars. Why? Because the prince of the earth, Satan, the power of the nations. There's a national spirit here, a national spirit there. It's devils. They can't get along with one another. This is amazing to me because in the beginning, all these devils now were angels, which were under one spirit, one influence, and they all got along. And I suppose loved one another and had peace among them. But when they backslid, now they can't even get along with their own kind. I don't mind telling you, the way I'm looking at it, the devil's got his hands full. Can you imagine all these demons, all these national spirits, all these political spirits? You know how it is with a good square-back Democrat and a good round-back Republican. Boy, they go to talking about president and politics and this and that and other. My. They can really get all hyped up about it. What is it? It's political spirits. Right. Now you can believe in politics and vote and all that sort of thing and be out from underneath that spirit, maybe. Just like you can live in America and be out from under the American spirit. What's this? The prince of the earth, Satan, of the nations. There's a national spirit. It's devils. They can't even get along with one another. Now watch, we'll pick this up in the morning. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Here's the angel Gabriel that is sent to Daniel. He's been praying and waiting for 21 days. He's waited and waited and waited. He didn't know why. He kept thinking and wondering, God, have I done something wrong? Is there something wrong? But in the spirit world, God had sent Gabriel. And as he came down into the dimensions above this kingdom where Daniel lived, and he started down into penetrate into where Daniel was. Now, it's a bodily coming. So he must come down through the dimensions. So as he comes down and he bumps into what? This prince of Persia. Now this prince of Persia was of a hierarchy higher than this angel was before he fell. But when he fell, he maintained that hierarchy. Here's this holy angel of God. He is wrestling and fighting and wrestling, trying to go, I've got to get to Daniel. I've got to get down to Daniel. You ain't going to Daniel. This is my turf. This is my area. I'm the prince of Persia. You've entered into my dominion. And he wrestled and he wrestled and he wrestled. But God sent Michael. And the word Michael means one like God. So here comes Michael. And he began to join in with this and released this other angel. So he comes down in the presence of Daniel and said, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, your prayer was heard from the very first day. But I had to fight to get to you, Daniel. Now, what was going on? This political power of Persia was not allowing the temple to be rebuilt at the rate that God wanted it. They was not allowing the Jews to have the liberty that God wanted. So this demon over Persia was influencing the leaders of Persia, and they was hindering the work of God. And Daniel was praying, God, it's got to be getting close to time. It's got to be getting close to time. That prophecy is laying right there. Jeremiah prophesied. It's got to be there, Lord. What's going on? And he kept praying and praying. And this devil said, oh no. Oh no. He'll see that word. He's a prophet. Ooh. Now dumb humans ain't scared of God's prophets, but devils are. So he said, if I can stop this angel, no doubt it's important because this is one of really great hierarchy. So he comes down and said, don't you dare enter into my domain. And he fought and he fought and he fought until the chief prince walked in. Yeah. I still like it when he walks in. Watch the categories here and we'll close. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. You mean an angel of God needed help? Shame on us when we need it and don't ask for it. Now watch. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. So there was a prince of the kingdom, and there were kings, a dominion, a domain. Now once he delivers the message, he tells Daniel, I've got to go back and fight again. And lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Alexander the Great is already marching. No wonder them demons get mad at one another. Because one gets world dominion power, and then prophetically, God will cause it in the image to change. About the time Satan gets everything going hunky-dory, God knocks the legs off of hunky and dory. Woo! And God said, now it's time to change from Persia to Grecia. And that devil said, no, 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 I like it. He said, I don't care if you like it or not. Get out.
Praise God. Amen.
Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, how can we poor mortals comprehend such a world? It is a world, Father, that has existed for many, many millennia. Yet I'm sure most of us are still so unaware of its influences on our own lives. We can feel it when we're tempted. We can feel it when we are depressed. We can feel it when we're uplifted. We can feel the positive side. When we're in church, we can feel it. Lord, I must be honest with you. I'm glad that my eyes have been withholding to see most of this stuff. I'm not made to really be able to take it, Lord. Most of us, it would probably just scare us to death. We couldn't. We're just not made to deal with it. But thank you for those who have been. Mainly prophets, that you would open up those windows where they could look in and tell us what was there. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person here tonight and those that will stream this service. May the presence of God help each of us. This warfare is greater than us. We are coming against an army that is a trained army with thousands of years of experience in the realm of politics, in the realm of religion, in the realm of disease, sickness, affliction. They love trouble. They love destruction. They love arguing and fighting and fussing. Help us, Lord Jesus. But you have not left us alone. You've sent us your word. You've sent us your spirit. You've sent us a ministry. You've sent us a prophet in the last days. And a host of angels that are round about us. Probably most of us have never seen one. Never touched one. But no doubt when we get there that day and we sit down at the table and we go to talking about the great things and you unfold the mystery of our life. And you'll start showing us the times this angel did this for us, and this one did that, and that one did something else. We'll probably be overwhelmed as we stand there to see the supernatural world, and those beings were right around us. They were in our automobile with us. They was walking down the aisle at Walmart, everywhere we went. For the scripture tells us, they encamp about those that fear you. And the prophet of God took that scripture and said, in other words, they don't never leave. Oh, Jesus. Help us here tonight, Father. Lord, we're right at the end time when this threefold cord cannot be easily broken. When religious, political, and demon power is being manifested on all fronts. Give us wisdom. Lord, we're not looking to become martyrs. We don't want to be fools. But at the same time, we don't want to compromise. I pray for your preachers, Lord, your ministry. Give us the wisdom to know when to say it, how strong to say it. Give us wisdom to know what to say, Lord God. Same with your people. Help us, Heavenly Father. We need you, Lord, like never before. In Jesus Christ's name. Praise God. How many would raise your hand to Him tonight and say, Lord, I need your help. Young people, older people, all of us. Friends, we cannot face this battle on our own. It's too great. It makes no difference how long you've been around, how long you've been living for God. These angels, the fallen angels that you're warring against, they've been fighting human beings for 6,000 years. Who are we to be able to meet them on our own strength? We can't. But with the Holy Ghost inside of us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe Him tonight. No doubt you've come here to church tonight with a need in your heart, a request. We didn't just come to feed, though we did. We didn't just come to worship, though we did. But maybe you come with this request on your heart or a need or something. You believe the Lord Jesus is among us? Amen. What good is a gospel that cannot have a life and a power behind it that backs it up? Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him just a little bit now. Whatever your needs are, just lay them right here before the Lord. Not me, not these preachers that are here, these deacon brothers, but before the Lord Jesus. What do you need? To be filled with the Holy Ghost? Strength over a battle you're going through? Is the host compassed against you round about? You look to the left, there's no way out. You look to the right, there's no way out. But keep looking ahead, friends. He'll make a way when there is no way. Whatever you need. Oh, praise the Lord. I sense Him here right now. Glory to God. Oh, He loves to prove Himself mighty among His people. He loves to find a people that believe Him and that'll take Him at His word. Hallelujah! That'll take Him at His word. Lord Jesus, we worship You tonight, God. Sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are a shield, yes, for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Yes, Lord God.
Oh, Thou, Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter. The demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. To the Lord with my voice, He heard me out of His holy ear. I lay me down and I slept. When I awakened, it was the precious, precious Holy Ghost sustain me. And I know that Thou, oh Lord, You are a shield for me. You're the glory. You are the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. I will not be of 10,000s of demons.
Thank you, Lord.
Every evil spirit may rise against me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My brother Dale Potter's got some needs in his body. Been fighting blood sugar. He drove 300 miles here today to come up to get prayed for. I believe God honors that. It's been really affecting him as far as being able to preach and making him dizzy. Hallelujah. Lord God, I join my faith with my brother and these saints here tonight. Lord, you see this situation in his body. You see, Lord, that he'd been doing pretty well for a while, but in the last few weeks, it's really, really got out of sorts for him, and the doctor can't seem to get it straightened out. But Heavenly Father, we look to the promise of your word. Oh, glory to God. Lord Jesus, you see my brother put forth this effort to come, Lord, to drive all these miles, Lord, to be in the house of God, but to come and ask for prayer. Lord, we join our faith in the promise of your word. And we call this devil a liar. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, may the presence of God move for him right now. So many, many times when the prophet would pray for people and he would see that blood dripping between him and the people, and he'd say, let us go to Calvary for a blood transfusion. Father, you see this condition, Lord, and it's been affecting my brother and been able to minister, Lord. And oh, God, this can't be your will for him. Hallelujah. I lay my hands on him. Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands away from my brother. You are a liar, and we call your bluff tonight. You're not afraid of us, but we don't approach you through our name. We approach you through the name of the Lord Jesus and the power of his blood. He's called us to lay hands on the sick. In the name of Jesus, make my brother well, Lord God. Hallelujah. We believe. We believe, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take my handkerchief, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many believes? How many believes he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's still a healer. He's still a savior. He's still a Holy Ghost baptizer. Oh, glory. Let's sing it, hey. Praise be to God.
Oh, thou. Of 10,000s of demons, every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me. You are the lifter of 10,000s of demons, every evil spirit that rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Camp themselves against me round about. For thou art a shield for me. Though the glory, you are the lifter of my head. Thou art a shield for me. The glory and the lifter of my head.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was on the verge of just giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. And I was on the verge of just giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding. It was his desire to steal away my faith, my joy, my hope. But I have found
revealed world. It was just what I needed to keep me in this grave.
Worship you, Lord God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Oh, glory. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. We worship and praise and adore you. Oh, great Adonai, great Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are our Lord, our King, our Savior, our Redeemer. First, the last, Alpha, the Omega. You're everything to us, Lord, our bright and morning star. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You love him, children, with all your heart.
Don't walk out of here tonight now one-sided and thinking, well, there's a devil here and a devil there. But remember, there's innumerable angels as well. Oh, praise God. Not only are devils here in this building tonight, but there's more angels than there are devils. Amen. The prophet said, faith is gathering. It's gathering. And he said, the outcome of the battle will be according to the way you believe it. I believe we will overcome this age. I believe we will overcome every devil of this age. Amen. Can we do it? By God's help. Let's sing a song as we prepare to go. If you want to go. Just a little bit after 9. Ain't this about the time when everything gets to going good? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, when God saved me, He saved me to go to church. And He didn't save me to sit on a pew like a wallflower. He saved me to be a participant. He saved me to sing. He saved me to worship. He saved me to be identified. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship, Harry.
And she kept these things.
Amen. Let's go on singing.
And pondered them deep within her heart.
Yes, Lord.
She believed in God.
Amen.
Never one time felt desires to depart. Oh, if the words could be born in Mary, then I believe it can be born in you and me. And she kept these things.
Triumphant. I'm talking about the church. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them I'm glad to be a part of the church of the living God.
It's the old
glory.
Ship of Zion. It's the whole lost and dying. It's a soul-saving station. It's the joy.
church to ride high on the Lord and it's been by the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. Got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood. It's been through the fire. But one of these days, the church is gonna move up higher. It's the church. Triumphant, oh Lord, and it's been by the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. Got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood. It's been through the fire. But one of these days, the church is gonna move up higher. It's the church. Triumphant, oh Lord, and it's been by the hand of the Lord. It's been through the flood. But the blood couldn't harm it. It's been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. Been fed to the lion, but the lions couldn't eat it. Fallen on the floors, but never defeated. Well, it's the church, triumphant, oh Lord, and it's been by the hand of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate each of you being with us tonight. The visitors that were in our gates, I hope we didn't scare you to death. We're having service again in the morning, 11 o'clock. Come and expecting the Lord to speak to us again by His Word. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I'm talking about the church in the book of Revelation.
Fire. One of these days, the church is gonna move up higher. It's the church, triumphant, oh Lord, and it's been by the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood, it's been through the fire, but one of these days, the church is gonna move up higher, it's the church.